Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Food insecurity is something the community is facing all too often, and it's happening right here in our backyard. It's an issue that Kitchen on the Street hopes to play a part in solving. It's an amazing program that I had the pleasure of touring just a couple weeks ago, and here to tell us more about Kitchen on the Street is their CEO, Lisa Scarpinato. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, a huge congratulations because you just celebrated your 15th anniversary. And it's a big deal because the governor proclaimed September 3rd as the official Kitchen on the Street Day. So before we get into anything else, because I know that I'm diving to the front instead of the back of the story, but I just want to say congratulations and tell me about that.
Thank you so much. It's 17 years, and I'm sure you heard the firecrackers going off on September 3rd, just like I did. We have a lot of followers and friends who love to celebrate with us. So it was a party.
Right.
But Kitchen on the Street really was birthed out of a desire. My husband and I wanted our daughter to volunteer, and she was 12 at the time. And what we found is that a lot of nonprofits require kids to be 16 or older in order to really get involved. So for a family, we sort of felt deflated and frustrated because we really wanted to be together as a family unit, you know, working in the community and educating her. I really felt like the younger that you start to become involved in your community and serve others, the more likely you are to continue that for the rest of your life. So we were really passionate about getting involved. And so what we found, like I said, is that the age requirement since she was 12 was a real struggle. So we started to look around, educate ourselves on what might be going on in the community and see if there was somewhere that we could, you know, fill in or plug in. And through the course of that, that meant meeting with a lot of people. My husband is a recovering former chef, so that means there's a lot of eating involved when you meet with people. So, which is great. I like the eating.
Right.
I wash the dishes after. It's a good thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
So September 3rd of 2006, we had some people over to our house, a couple that had been friends and their child. And so the man, Dennis, had just become the charter school principal in the neighborhood I grew up in Glendale. And so, you know, we were only a few weeks into school since it was Labor Day weekend. And I had left the neighborhood pretty early on after high school and community college. So during this dinner, I said, "Hey, how's your school year going?" And his response was shocking. He just got really quiet and he, you know, kind of looked at his dinner plate, pushed it away and started to cry. Tears just started to roll down his face. And after a few moments, he composed himself and apologized for that response. And he explained that he had recently been in the school cafeteria during lunch when most of the students were finishing lunch, throwing things away and leaving. And one girl was kind of cutting through the crowd to get further into the cafeteria. And he said, "You know, when kids aren't, you know, going with the masses, so to speak, you have to watch them because they might be up to something you need to know about." And so he said, "I was watching her and she walked right over to the trash can and she reached in and she pulled out a piece of pizza someone else had clearly taken a few bites out of and thrown away." And he said, "I watched her and she did it over and over and over again until her pockets were full of food and then she left the cafeteria."
It's awesome. Devastating. And so, of course, it would bring anyone to tears to see that. And you all made an amazing thing out of this story, but was it that night right then and there? What happened after?
It was. My recovering chef husband is from the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, and he wastes no time in doing anything. So after our friends literally got out the door, he shut the door and he said, "Okay, I'm going to check this out." And he jumped on the computer. And about an hour later, he said, "Okay, we have a hunger problem in our city. I think we should start a nonprofit to help these kids. I think we should call it Kitchen on the Street. And I think we should start tonight. What do you think?"
I don't think you had any other choice.
Pretty much, yes. It was just, how are we going to do this? So we literally got on LegalZoom that night, started, you know, the incorporation paperwork and the 501c3 process. And then it was time to just educate ourselves, because at that time, we weren't really talking a lot about hunger in America, let alone childhood hunger in Arizona. So it took some some education to find out what the stats were, which I'm happy to say when we started, it was 1 in 4 kids. And now it's about 1 in 7 kids in Arizona that struggle with food insecurity. So we have made some progress. And that's a good thing for our community as a whole, and certainly for our students.
With your husband being a chef, was that something that was already kind of near and dear to your hearts? Or was it something that you were not necessarily knowing the stats surrounding it, but was it something that you were more aware of just food waste?
Absolutely. That's a big issue in our house and always has been. But so we both had some background in the food industry, my husband much more than I did. And so we also have an interest in nutrition and how food can be used as fuel for your body and your brain. And so when we really started to look into this, we found out there's some shocking results of food insecurity. I'm not sure if you know this, but most of the time, kids that, especially at a young age, experience food insecurity, chronic illness is very common, and it is directly connected to the lack of nutrition. Diabetes, obesity, heart disease, even mental illness disorders like anxiety and depression are higher in people that, especially students and kids that struggle with food insecurity.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They also developmentally, physically, they're usually smaller. You know, asthma is a common kind of thing as well. And then a lot of times they lag their peers in academics. So that's something we've seen from some of our programs, is an increase in reading skills by 12% and math scores by 26%, which is certainly a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, especially with the way that Arizona public schools rank, they can use all the help that these kids can get.
Absolutely. So you probably know this, but all of our schools have a letter grade, A, B, C, D, F kind of thing. And we have an application on our website that schools can apply for some of our programs. And what we've seen is that a lot of times our schools, when they apply, they have a D or worse rating. And through the course of the first year of our programs coming into their schools, they move to a B plus or better. So we feel like the entire classroom and then a school as a whole is getting a better grade, and the students are getting a better education, so that you know, it's a community thing. It's not just an individual impact on a student who happens to be in a Kitchen on the Street program. Impact.
And how wonderful that you can see that impact right away. You know, you say that within, was it 1 year, you can start seeing those changes?
Yes, absolutely. That quickly. So that's pretty amazing. I think it speaks to the power of food, like I said, as fuel for your body and brain.
And so a school will come to you and want to bring in your program. What is kind of the first step if a school wants to take part in your program?
So we use food, education, resources, and nutrition to address childhood hunger. And so the food part, we have what's called the Bags of Hope program, which is a weekly, weekend nutrition bags that students can pick up at school and carry home and consume the contents over the weekend. So they get proper nutrition outside of school. And then also family food pantries that are actually on school campuses, so that families can come in and get food for the entire family, kind of thing, if that's the need. So our website is kitchenonthestreet.org, and we have an application under our schools tab, and any school can apply for either one of those programs. And so again, based on the need, if it's more of a family food need or it's more of an individual student need, then a Bags of Hope kind of thing. And so they can apply for that. And then usually our board of directors approves them pretty quickly, and we can make a partnership there. Our Bags of Hope are really specific individual, mostly individual meals and snacks for students, except we do include one meal for the entire family because there's so many benefits of a family dining together. A child's vocabulary increases, grade point averages increase when they eat with their family, and then drug use, alcohol abuse, and teen pregnancy decreases when they do that. So one meal for the family is super important, and then individually portioned items that the student can eat over the weekend. And then family food pantries are more like foods you and I might buy that primarily are non-perishables that, you know, can be taken home and cooked.
Yeah. And talk about the contents that are in the Bag of Hope and, you know, in the food pantries, because I really appreciate that there is an emphasis on nutrition. It's not, let's throw some chips and a soda in a bag and off you go. There's really, you're holistically changing this child from the inside out. And so what would be in a typical Bag of Hope bag for the weekend?
So we have a few items that are specifically created for for our Bags of Hope, and they are dehydrated items because, as you know, in Arizona, it's really hot and we can't, you know, temperature is something we have to factor in. Students are picking this up and taking it home. So they might ride a bus, they might have to walk 110 degrees or higher sometimes, which is clearly an issue. And weight is an issue too. So one of the items that we have is pasta and then dehydrated pasta sauce that they can just add water to. And the other family item is usually a rice and beans mixture that again is dehydrated. And then we also put some canned meat in there so that we have a protein to go with those items. Beyond that, we have a variety of things. My last name is Scarpinato, so there has to be some more Italian in there meals, not just spaghetti or pasta. We have to have ravioli, you know, along those lines. But
no Chef Boyardee.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you know, it's a good Italian name. I'll go with it. How about some applesauce for, you know, fruit? We sometimes include pudding. It's a nice treat and it does have calcium in it. So we try to balance that with the sugar part, but we have a specific fruit and vegetable snack that is also low in sugar. It's like a fruit snack kind of thing. And it seems to be this kid's favorite item and it's super low in sugar. So we love that one as a good thing. We put in sunflower kernels because they're also pretty nutritional and they are a good opposite for nuts. We have such nut allergies in our schools. And so we find that that's a big issue there too. I'm trying to think of whatever. We've got some vegetable cups in there too. And sometimes we have pancake mix. Sometimes we have cereal bars, more on the healthy fruit side kind of thing. Just a variety of different things that we are able to get from purveyors that want to support us in this program and make it affordable or free. And again, we like it to be nutritional. We have a nutritionist group that comes alongside us every 2 years and reviews the contents of our bag to make sure that we're putting in stuff that is actually fuel and not just sugar laden.
Yeah. And do you notice or have parents come to you maybe a little bit down the road or years in? Because wait, first I want to say that I also appreciate about your program that when a school is accepted, they're in. There's no kind of re-enrollment. There's no, you know, reapplying. And I really loved that when I was touring the facility. But do you notice families that kind of build a relationship with you or tell you maybe it's that year, maybe it's years down the road that they themselves learned about nutrition and being able just with their child bringing this home gave them an opportunity that otherwise they wouldn't have had?
We have had those comments. They come frequently through the person who's facilitating our program at a school. Sometimes it's handwritten notes we get. Sometimes they'll send us an email. That is more of our focus, like I mentioned, food, education, resources, and nutrition. So we're really working on the education part. In each Bag of Hope, we put in a note. It's about a half size page. And one side just kind of talks about Kitchen on the Street and our how grateful we are to be part of their process in, again, learning about nutrition. And then the other side is about, it's like a game or a word search or something like that, that our intention is that the student will, or the child will do that with their family. So it's more of a learning process for everybody as opposed to just the child. And then we've also incorporated some education classes. And we know from those, we get a lot of feedback that families as a whole are learning a lot of things. And you know, nutrition is such a daunting topic. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's difficult because you can watch one documentary and it'll say such and such is bad. And then you watch another one and it's completely the opposite. And so you have to really go back and like do your research. Like, what is it? Which one?
Right. What is best for me? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is. And even like now scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or every other person has an opinion, you know, on, oh, it should be keto or, oh, no, it needs to be totally vegan or, oh, I'm on the caveman diet. And there's just, and then someone will talk trash about
what the other person's saying, like, no, that's not right at all. So I can imagine for someone that I grew up in a pretty health conscious home. And so I like to think that I know right from wrong most of the time, or I know what's a better option. But my kid loves candy just as much as every other kid. So
actually, it's really interesting. Our summer nutrition program, we were in a few different areas. We were in Maryvale, Alhambra, South Phoenix, and South Scottsdale. And in a couple of those neighborhoods, one of the first lessons we do is on plants. And so the students do get to plant a seed and take it home and grow it. And, you know, we keep coming back weekly to kind of get an update. But one of the things during that class that they do is we had lollipops, and they have some things that they add to it. And so basically they make a plant out of that. It has string as roots and variety of different things. And so we had left some of those lollipops on accident, but we left them there. And we went back the next week and, you know, wanted to get our supplies. And one of the teachers was saying, yeah, you know, we gave these out as kind of like a treat because we had extra ones. We didn't know you'd want them back, kind of thing. And some of the parents said, we don't want our kids to have any candy. There's like enough going on right here. We just need it to be more focused on health. So even in some of our more low income communities, we're finding that there is more of an emphasis on trying to eat as healthy as you can, even though we know right now it's costly to eat anything, let alone healthy. Yeah. But it's rough.
And the Fresh on Deck program, you're out in the community, so tell me about that.
So the Fresh on Deck program was intended to start in 2020. It's a collaboration between Kitchen on the Street, the Arizona Diamondbacks, and United Healthcare. And our intention was to right away ramp up and start going to Title I schools, which you may or may not know. Title I means 40% of the population qualifies for the federally funded breakfast and lunch program. 40% or more, I should say. So Title I schools and after-school programs, Boys and Girls Clubs, Mentor Kids, things like that. Our intention was to go to those places and start doing education classes that were fun, but COVID hit. So it took us a while. It took us until about 2022 to get it started. So around this time last year, we launched. And we go out and do about hour-long sessions with students. It can be anyone from kindergarten through eighth grade. And we have age-appropriate activities. So we watch a short video that's pretty quick as far as, you know, information comes out at you, because we want to make sure that we're educating these kids, and they're so used to using technology and things go so quickly. So mm-hmm. we have some awesome videos that we use. And then the next 45 minutes, the students move through three different activities that support the lesson. Our intention and goal is to have them out of the chair the entire 45 minutes, because hands-on activities after school or in the summer, they have a lot of energy that they need to burn off. And that's also part of the education process is we want to talk about nutrition. We want to talk about physical activity, general overall health, so that they can get the academic success they want. You know, some of them want to be athletes and some of them want to be scholars. And so we really walk them through the process of how food from the beginning, from a seed all the way to when it, you know, enters your mouth and gets processed by your systems, can help you or hurt you on your journey to success or to your goals.
Yeah, it's wonderful that it really is full circle. And so once a child or a family has gone through one of the programs and either like one of the education pieces, they're then invited to come help and pack those bags of hope.
Yes, or come and be part of our education classes. We have students who get to kind of come up the ranks and become leaders at those events, and then also come and help us put on those Fresh on Deck sessions and lead kids in exercises or, you know, food bingo or cooking or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. How do you see the kids' confidence, those that come back and they're then kind of the mentors and they know what's going on teaching others? Are they just exuding confidence?
They are. It's pretty exciting to see. When Kitchen on the Street celebrated 10 years of service to the community, our board as a whole decided they didn't want to throw a gala or anything like that. What they wanted to do was offer scholarships to kids that have been part of some Kitchen on the Street program. So we gave away three or four scholarships that year to students that were, you know, at the college level kind of thing, a lot of community college, which we have a great system here. And so it's been exciting to watch them in their journey. And then maybe some of them come back as interns. I was just at an after school program this week, 2 days ago, and a gal that she and her brother were food recipients, then they became food volunteers. And now she's leading an after school program that Fresh on Deck is now part of, doing our sessions. So it's really exciting to get to be part of the process, but then also, like you just said, see where it goes, where their life is, you know, taken them, and what success they're having and how they're also impacting that same community.
And at this point, 17 years, it's generational. If you're with someone starting in middle school, they have kids now.
Absolutely. They do.
Rewarding.
It's very humbling to be part of that process.
And with those kids, tell me about Fern, the cutest little mascot.
Orange is the color of hunger. I'm sure you know that. Everyone does, right? And so we have an orange dinosaur, and her name is Fern. And Fern is an acronym for food, education, resources, and nutrition, because that's what Kitchen on the Street uses to address childhood hunger. And so Fern's job is to make childhood hunger extinct, because
she's
a dinosaur. So
love it.
it's fun. We have a lot of kids come to Kitchen on the Street, and Fern goes out in the community too. And the boys love Fern, and the girls are petrified of Fern. So it's fun to watch, but they come around eventually.
My son, 4 and a half, obsessed with mascots. And we went to a Mercury game a couple weeks ago, and it happened to be whatever their mascots, it was his or her birthday. And so all the mascots were there, and my son just lost it. And so I just think that it's so creative of you to be able to engage with kids and kind of take away that scary factor of, or maybe it adds to the scary factor, depending on who you're talking to, but kind of making it a little bit more comfortable for the kids with this big old orange dinosaur talking about nutrition.
Yes. And, you know, it's really opened up a lot of opportunity for us to have a presence in the community. It's kind of hard to go into community events and sort of advertise who you are kind of thing without sort of making some people feel bad, the ones that might need your services, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then so Fern really kind of makes it easy to do that. And in all honesty, adults are just as fascinated with Fern as the children are. They whip their phone out right away to get, hey, let's get my photo with the mascot. So it's pretty entertaining all the way around.
I can imagine. And the junior board of directors is kind of your last bread and butter program. Tell me about that.
So we decided a few years ago that we aren't getting any younger, and we need some assistance from our younger population of people that will help us kind of stay focused on the mission, but also look at it from a different lens. And we feel like young people certainly can do that. And so junior high school and college students are invited once a year to apply and then become part of our program. And it is a year-long program. And so basically we have four meetings, and our intention through the course of those meetings, which is like once a quarter, is to give them the knowledge about nonprofits and businesses that support nonprofits so that they can be a great volunteer, a donor, perhaps a board member in the future with whatever nonprofit they're passionate about, whatever that cause is. And so we have those meetings, and then they are also leaders at any volunteer events that we have or any community events that we have. So we may be, you know, hosting a booth at Trunk or Treat, and they might come out and help hand out, you know, the goodies. Mm-hmm. We might be at a community college Festival of Tales, where it's all about literacy, and we want to get the word out about Kitchen on the Street. And so they might be there handing out flyers. They have to create an elevator speech. And so we want them to be in the community practicing that speech.
Yes.
You know, kind of thing. And then they're also helpers during our summer program with Fresh on Deck. Again, they get to come out and have, you know, have one of those 15-minute activities that they're the leader of. So we feel like they get a lot of good experience interacting with the public, adults and children. And so hopefully that's a good boost for their resume, and they get behind the scenes information about what it's like to be involved with the charity.
Such a good resume builder. How large is that group right now?
This year it is 5. We've had, I think, as many as 8 or 9, but 5 is a good number because we get to interact with them a little bit more in person when you only have a few.
Right, right. What is next? There's a lot happening. Dare I ask what's on the horizon?
I would say more expansion of our Fresh on Deck program. We really feel like that's the successful way for us to impact these families. Clearly, giving food is certainly one level of impacting them, but our intention is for them to become self-sustaining. And so if we can work with students at a young age, give them the tools and resources and knowledge to know what's good for them, so that hopefully either now if they can, or when they're in charge of their own food budget dollars, that they will make the choices that they, you know, they've learned about that will clearly fuel them for success.
Oh, and I just was reminded of the SNAP challenge.
Yes, we have a SNAP challenge. SNAP is it's called Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. That's what SNAP stands for, and it's basically a renaming of the food stamp program. And so, any families that are on SNAP have a certain dollar amount that they spend per person each day that's allotted for them for meals, and it's extremely low. And so we felt like one way to educate the public on that, because I think there's sometimes some negative connotations about that. Some people are for it, some people aren't, kind of thing. And so even getting into this for a long time, we didn't really have a lot of knowledge of you know, what SNAP was and how it was used and the limitations, quite frankly. And so we invite teams in up to, I think, 12. We can have 4 teams of 3. And we do a little, almost like a game show to educate the people on what SNAP is. And then we test their knowledge, were they paying attention, kind of thing. And the team that was paying the most attention and wins gets to go shop in our gallery with their allotted SNAP dollars. They get first dibs on the goods, and then the other teams can follow and kind of take what's left over. And the challenge is that each team has to create a meal within the SNAP dollar allotment, and then they're judged by either the corporation or the group that comes can bring their own judges, or we find some foodies in the community that are also willing to judge, and they have to have the nutritional content. It has to be within the financial guidelines. It has to be appealing to the eye. So appearance is a big deal, and then it has to taste good. So
of course,
there's some crazy throwdowns that go on.
What's the craziest meal that you've seen prepared?
Oh, there's been some interesting ones, combinations I wasn't willing to try. I don't know. I can't even think of the worst one at this point. I try to only focus on the good ones. I don't want to be scarred by that negativity.
No, certainly not. But that's the place that I would want to come volunteer. Are you accepting volunteers? How can we get involved?
We are. So Kitchen on the Street is on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and we advertise our volunteer events there. And then if a person that might be listening today isn't a social media person, they could visit our website, which is kitchenonthestreet.org, and a little box will pop up and offer them the opportunity to register for our newsletter. And so if they do that, then they'll get some information on the volunteer events and what we're doing in the community, what our needs might be. We do have some events, some opportunities that people can do from home. If they're a research person or, you know, they're really good at creating social media content or things like that, we're always looking for people who want to share their skills in that manner as well. So we would love to hear from them.
Awesome. Such good work. Thank you so much, Lisa.
It was a pleasure to be here. I have listened to the other podcasts, and I am amazed that you allowed me to come along. You've got some awesome people you interviewed. Thank you.
Just like you, you're an awesome person.
Oh, I'll tell you my secret. I'm trying to stay out of prison and get into heaven. That's my whole plan in life.
Aren't we all?
All right. I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today. And I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.